Blog Talk Radio.
Church, and I'm your pastor, Dr. Pastor Ken, and we have a great service lined up for you today. Amen. Well, let's start out with a prayer. Amen. Lord God, help us find the path that we may walk with confidence because you are our Father, Lord. Banish all thoughts that try to depress us, Lord. Let your spirit drive them away, Lord. May our hearts become quiet before you, Lord, because you, the Almighty, guide everything for the good of people on earth, Lord. Everything will lead to a thanksgiving, Lord, to your praise and glory, Lord. Be with us always, Lord, day and night, Lord. May our hearts always exult afresh, Lord, rejoicing in you, our God and Savior, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, let's get into some music.
Well,
when Moses with Israel came to the Red Sea. Yahweh said, have courage and leave it to me. Well, I will not forsake you. I'm gonna hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrenders at the master's command. Well, just trust in Yahweh. And let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. In this life before us, many trials we face. You know we're tested and tempted to give up this race. But then I hear Yahshua whisper, let me hold to your hand. For there's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrendered at the master's command. Just trust in Yahweh and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over. Yahweh, and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over.
Thank you. Yahweh, when
Everybody like this praise and worship service, okay? Okay, that we did today. Let's get into the message, okay? It's titled, the sermon is titled, Most Likely to Succeed, okay? And it's from Judges chapter 13. Let's open with prayer for the service. Lord God, we come into your presence, Lord, for you are our certainty, our refuge, especially in these times when so much is happening to grieve and trouble us, Lord. You are our God and our Savior today and for all time, Lord. You have always been our Savior and helper, Lord, and you will remain our Savior and helper forever, Lord. We praise you and glorify your name, Lord. Give a new spirit in our day, Lord. We pray new help through the gospel brought by Jesus Christ. May your name be kept holy. Your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this PM, we're embarking on a four-week journey into a life of Samson. Back at the end of 2017, when I began praying about what God wanted me to share with our church, I couldn't escape the conviction to look into the life of God called but severely flawed Old Testament judge. Little did I know at the time that PureFlix was shooting a movie to be premiered in theaters while I was writing this series. So, Have you heard the phrase, your reputation precedes you? What does it mean? It starts with the word reputation. Your reputation is an estimation of what others say, think about you. It can be earned or projected based on what others have experienced or perceived about you. The key word is estimation, coming from the word estimate, which means to form an opinion of. Your reputation is an estimate judgment made by someone or something for which you become known for. So when I think back to my high school days, I'm reminded of a senior superlatives. Do you remember those? Most talented, most athletic, best looking, best personality, and the coveted, most likely to succeed. Each superlative was an estimate of a classmate, a reputation to precede life. I wonder how many lived up to the hype. If Samson went to school, I'm sure he would have been voted the most likely to succeed. After all, he was a kid who appeared to have it all. He had parents who cherished him, he was outgoing, athletic, and likely good-looking, and most importantly, he had God's call on his life. Yet while his feats are legendary, his flaws were fatal. While he was amazingly gifted, yet he chooses not to be godly. While he was strong on the outside, he was weak on the inside. But Samson's life is perplexing. His story brings us face to face with God's sovereignty and man's frailties. Israel didn't deserve help, yet God sent it. And yet the person God sent to bring deliverance needed deliverance himself. Samson was a man who chose, Samson was a man whose life was full of inconsistencies and contradictions. He was lured by lust, crippled by compromise, and arrested by arrogance. And yet God used him in spite of his flaws to initiate deliverance to Israel. Samson was like us. He had so much God-given potential. Yet, over and over, he made poor choices that led to personal destruction. He had so much ability and potential, yet he continued to compromise his calling through one poor decision after another. His life could be summarized as a single statement. Samson was a strong man with a weak will. Samson's story begins in Judges 13. The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord gave them to the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zoar named Manoah, came from the clan of Danites, and had a wife whose child was unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Judges chapter 13, verse 1. So let me set the stage. Once again, in spite of the patient love of God, the Israelites were unfaithful to God, resulting in God allowing the enemies, the Philistines, to overtake and rule over them. And this was no picnic. The Philistines were cut out in the same cloth as the Babylonians. They were advanced, depraved, and cruel people. Their culture was built on piracy and conquest. And they were known to be unspeakably cruel and inhumane. They were a pagan nation far from God. Interestingly enough, they were big into pork, filling the Jewish countryside with pigs, not kosher. One commentator called them buccaneering, beer-guzzling, bacon-eating barbarians. Because of Israel's unfaithfulness, God allowed the Philistines to rule over them for generations. God used this time to discipline the Israelites to turn their hearts back to him. So after 40 years, God finally said, you've learned your lesson. So I'm going to raise up a man, Samson, to begin the process of deliverance from the Philistines. So the angel of the Lord in his theophany appeared to the couple unable to conceive and said, "You're going to give birth to a son, Samson." What was unique about Samson was God set him apart from birth, commanding his parents to raise him under a Nazarite vow. This vow was first expressed in Numbers 6, and essentially is a way for an ordinary person to be set apart of the glory of God. They were identified by three vows. Don't drink anything fermented, don't touch anything dead, and don't cut your hair. While it looks like Samson was something special set apart by God, Samson is us. He's just like us. He has so much potential for greatness, and yet he squandered his potential with stupid living. Instead of being a man after God's heart, accepting his calling, embracing God's will, Samson flirted with temptation, was driven by his desires, and assumed God would turn a blind eye and give him a pass. Sound familiar? I see this all the time. Good, gifted people with incredible potential, weak where it matters the most. Weak in character, fragile in conviction, puny in commitment. Samson is a poster child for what happens to strong people with a weak will. This PM from Samson's life, I want to overview the primary attitudes, actions that make strong people weak. Lured by lust, Samson was a man clearly ruled by his desires. His default was, I want it and I want it now. Lust is the insatiable appetite to be satisfied by someone or something. It may be a possession, a person, a pill, or a priority. But the mindset is, I want it. I got to have it. I'm going to get it no matter what it costs. It's amazing how our desire for something causes us to lose all logic. In our want, we lose all sense of consequences. What starts seemingly innocent becomes compulsion. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a Philistine woman. And when he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Get her for me as my wife. Judges chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Did you see it? Samson left his hometown, traveled 4 miles to Timnah, into enemy territory. He left his friends and went to his enemies looking for love in all the wrong places. And he saw a woman forbidden him because God said, you should not intermarry with those who do not worship me. But he said, I don't care what God says. I don't care what my mom and dad think. I don't care what's right or wise. I want her. Over and over again, we see lust makes strong people weak, and lust unchecked always leads to compromise. Crippled by compromise. Why? I think Samson suffered from a sense of entitlement. Not only did he say, I want it, he thought, I deserve it, Samson. Assumed because he had been set apart from birth for God's glory that he was entitled to something and he could do whatever he desired without consequence. How else do you explain his willingness to break each of the 3 Nazarite vows placed on his life? Look at chapter 14. One day, Samson is going along when a lion jumped out and killed it with his bare hands. You might think, what's the big deal? David killed a lion too. Yes, but look at 14:5. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother, and they approached the vineyards of Timnah. Suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass, and then he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. He scooped out the honey with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined with his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate. But he did not tell them they had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Sometime after killing the lion, Samson went back to marry the Philistine girl, and along the way, watch, he turned aside. Can I tell you that this is when people get in trouble? They get in trouble when they turn aside from God to celebrate those victories and satisfy their desires. Samson has turned aside to look at the dead lion. Why? Curiosity, pride, who knows? Note the scriptures. It was a swarm of bees and some honey which he scooped out of his hands and ate as he went along. First of all, that's disgusting. More importantly, what did he do? He violated his vow not to touch anything dead. He betrayed his vow for a handful of honey. Who's dumb enough to betray God for a handful of honey? The answer is, we are. People do it every day. People who regularly betray the God who blesses them for stupid, sinful things that only hurt them and those around them. But that's not his only compromise. Look at chapter 14, verse 10. His father went down to see the woman. There Samson held a feast and was customary for young men. The Hebrew word translated for feast is mishta. It literally means a party or occasion for drinking. Do you know what Samson did? He threw himself a bachelor party. He about to get married, so he called his buddies, tapped a keg, and got wasted. Do you see the compromise? He had a vow in his life to never touch wine or any alcoholic drink. Then there was the episode with Delilah that ultimately ended his hair getting cut off, strike three. All Nazarite vows broken. Do you know what happened when Samson didn't think God cared about his fellowship? Okay, his assumption and entitlement partially compromised his character, convictions, and commitments to satisfy his wants. So do we not do the same? Because we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, some believers think they can live as they please without consequence, and they misuse grace as a name of gratifying desires. They treat grace as a get-out-of-sin card, thinking God will turn a blind eye to their sin and allow them to live as they choose, all the while abusing his grace, which is absolutely not true. Read Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 18. And then he was arrested by arrogance. Follow the sequence. I desire it, I deserve it, and because I'm strong and capable, I can deal with it. This is what happens to strong people again and again. God has given great potential to bring glory to his name, and yet we think, because I'm strong and I desire it, I can handle it. Can we fast forward to the end of Samson's life? I want to show you something. We'll see this in week 4 in chapter 16. We're going to see perhaps the strongest man who ever lived, a man who was called anointed by God, and his eyes gouged out, his prized hair butchered, groping in darkness, listening to the ridicule of his enemies. This is what a life focused on loss, entitlement, and pride can do to you. Instead of making a difference, he made a mess. His arrogance, appetites, and audacity led to his demise. So, Pastor, are you telling me if I follow the footsteps of Samson, I'm going to have my eyes gouged out? Absolutely not. I'm telling you it could be worse. I'm telling you, God didn't die on a cross to give you a license to sin, but to give you power and purpose. He came to provide the world with emancipation from sin into relationship with him. Look at Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the world and all who live in it. He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in the holy place, the one who has clean hands and pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by false god, they receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from their God, their Savior. This text is about what it takes to succeed in life. Instead of desiring lust, desire God. Instead of entitlement, know you deserve death. Instead of trusting self, put your faith in Christ. And this ends the sermon. So let us pray. Dear Abba, Father in heaven, you are among us, and we can call you Abba, dear Father. In joy of being your children, we want to lay our lives into your hands to be made good and happy, Lord. Care for us like a shepherd pasturing his flock so that we can have community with one another, Lord. Help us to realize that you have many children here and everywhere, and that again and again you take a child by the hand saying, you are mine, Lord. I am caring for you. We thank you that your eyes watch over all the world, Lord. We thank you that your rule is over all humankind and will bring good to all people, Lord, wherever they may live. May this happen soon through our Savior. We call to him, Lord Jesus, come. Come soon. May your hand keep us all close to the Father in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this brings us to the most important question of all. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay. You will have a chance to in just a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road, not knowing where to go or which way is up or down? Or maybe you're lacking purpose in your life and you need some. Or maybe you're suffering from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you're suffering from something worse, as an addiction to drugs or alcohol. Or overeating, sexual morality, or gambling. Whatever it may be, the Lord can take it away. But in order to do so, folks, he has to know you. So I ask you, do you want to know God, your Lord, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior today? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. According to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry want to welcome you to the family of God. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, I hope whoever said this prayer, okay, out there, would call in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you will come on live, and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. Because right now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all his angels and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. Well, we've got some callers. Again, we'll take the first caller who's got his hands up. Okay, what a screwball. Okay, anyway. Let's play some, some more music. Here we go.
How can I give you what you already own?
take another caller. Area code 111. Okay. All right. Let's play another song here.
Gather if you are weary, and if the weight is heavy for home, let go all that you carry. There is no reason to do it alone. For a moment, and let the world keep spinning without you. Breathe deep, hear your heartbeat. This is the place where we're all become.
One, you're on the air.
Sparkle, 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 sparkle.
Okay. All right, let's play another song. Well, let's get into the prophetic word, okay? this goes out to people that need it, and you know who you are. The Father says today that I am the God of hope, realized and desired fulfilled. You know what it is to experience the false promises of the world. Outward things have not satisfied, and even when you acquired what you thought would make you happy, it only became an empty disappointment. Return to the river that I have caused to flow deep within you. There is a river, there is a current of my spirit that not only flows near you, it originates in you. It is a current of glory and refreshing and fullness that flows to every empty, lonely place down in your heart. What man cannot be to you and what things cannot be to you, I am bringing myself to satisfy every possible need you will ever have. All that I am and all that I ever will be flows through you, to you, and in you. Receive this day of my fullness. Forsake the constant race of the flesh to acquire, to taste, see, experience, for the eye is never full of seeing. The ear is never tired of listening. But as you come to me, I will give you rest and cause you to feed on my stillness. Be still and know, says God. Know that I am, is resident within you. There is no lack, there is no need, there is no deficit or outward thing that you have need of that I am not manifesting on the inside of you right now. Who am I on the inside of you is manifesting the substance outwardly that meets every need. I am healing, I am restoration, I am money, I am the supply. If you have me, you do not... And you do not have me, you have all things. I am on the inside of you, all things that pertain to life and godliness. I am the ever-present help in the time of your need. No more striving, no more chasing after that elusive something that the enemy deceives so many with. Never allow the enemy to tell you that you are naked. You are not naked. You are clothed upon my glory, and in that glory every need is met and every desire fulfilled that you could ever have need of this life, my beloved. Amen. Well, like I said, this prophetic word goes out to those who need it most, and you know who you are. Amen. All righty. Okay. We're gonna end the service now. Okay. I hope and pray that you enjoyed the service and that you got something from it. And God bless everybody that called in and everybody that's listening on the link. Okay. Listening in the chat. So God bless you and have a blessed evening. Bye bye, all.